You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Anthony.
Hello.
Dwayne.
Hello.
And me, Brian. This week's episode, The Nijimura Brothers, Part 1. We're back to Part 1s and 2s again with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Back.
Already.
So I do believe it's one of you guys' turn to take the synopsizing reins.
We're jumping straight into JoJo's.
We always jump straight into JoJo's.
Do we?
Yes.
Okay, then.
You got to start strong. Do you want to do it or will I?
I'll do it.
I'm no longer collating the week in JoJo's news because there's so much other stuff we've got to talk about.
Gotta get this done quick.
Unless there's important news. Gosh. As opposed to just random news. Yeah, sure.
Right, I'll take it away. You know the episode title. That's what it's called. So, we kind of joined them in a weird spot because I thought they'd already done this bit with Angelo. Basically, they're at the rock again. And
it's going to be playing the last little bit of the last episode.
Yeah, it's kind of like a continuation straight on in between. I don't know.
I guess the logic is like you think the scene ends when he's fused with the rock and he's like, I'm a rock, but it's like, yeah, he's still alive, so he has
a few little bits to mention, and he starts giving a little bit of info that there's an individual with a bone arrow that with this bone arrow it can give someone the power of the stand. And he retells a story of when he was in prison, a dark night looking up at his cell, and this person came, shot the arrow through his throat and effectively kills him, but because he's as mean and nasty as he is, he's got what it takes, and it gives birth to his stand, which was Aqua Necklace. And while he's telling this story, you know, Jotaro and Josuke is listening, and there's a kid getting, I guess, choked out or squeezed with the glove.
The stand is like crawling into his mouth.
Crawling into his mouth, that's where it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't really care about this, at least Josuke doesn't, but he's too busy doing his hair. And Angelo makes a big mistake of saying, you know, stop messing around with your stupid hair, and blah, blah, blah. And obviously he snaps. Jotaro's like, no, we need to get some more information from him about this bow and arrow person who's potentially in this village, blah, blah, blah. But no, Josuke goes crazy. Hits him more when he's in the rock form. It kind of shatters the rock into pieces and it refuses, and it's like this huge, ugly
head.
Giant face. Yeah,
yeah.
Basically a big giant face. The rubber glove drops dead, I guess. And
I thought it was kind of cool the way the rubber glove was empty, because the stand isn't made of water. It's not like the glove was suddenly filled with dead water. It was just... the stand.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I guess it's done, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was a nice way of showing it that the rubber glove was empty, even though the knot was still in it.
Yeah. But the kid runs off.
Scared shitless, I imagine.
Yeah, but understandably so. And Jotaro's like, well, could have got some more info from this guy, but never mind, I guess. We bit of a jump on from there, and Koichi, the little boy... well, not so a little boy, same age as Josuke. The smaller child, shall we say, is doing some studies about people going missing in this village and disappearances and presumably murders and whatnot. Since all this has started happening, since Jotaro showed up and kind of made them aware of this stand user and all this weird goings on in the town.
Yeah, doing some school library investigations.
Yeah. And Josuke shows up. They decide to go for a walk. I don't really know where they're going. Are they going back to his house just to hang out or something? I can't quite remember.
Yeah, they're going back to his house because when they go past the abandoned house, they seem to be walking to...
Josuke's house, yeah.
As Josuke says, like, he lives like across the road or something? Or at least across the corner anyway, yeah.
Ah, that explains it, because they go past this old abandoned house and Koichi's sure that he sees someone in the window and he says, oh, it could be a ghost. And he's like, oh, don't say that, how do you live? Across the road. Why would Josuke be scared of something like that? But anyway, they have a closer look. Koichi pops his head in the gate and what's his name? What is his bloody name?
Okuyasu Nijimura.
Yeah. I'm going to call him Oku. Oku. No. I'll just call him... is it Okuyasu? Oku? Oh, someone say his name, please.
I think it's Okuyasu Nijimura. I don't know if it's a long O or a short O, but...
Oh, gosh. See, I'm terrible with pronunciations, but he is there. He is there, and Koichi spots him, and he kicks the gate shut.
Oh, catching your man's neck right
yeah,
in the...
Yeah, in his neck. It's so... Oh, I can feel the pain he's in. But... Josuke has a bit of, you know, let him go, you bastard, blah, blah, blah. Then we cut to Jotaro, who shows up at Josuke's house wanting to find Josuke. And he's ringing the doorbell.
There's a great montage of him not, like, reacting and being really annoyed that no one's answering the door.
Yeah, it's like the same shot of him with his finger out, his judgment finger. And the mother shouting, sure. Clear off! If you're
we
the
don't
payment
want your
guy,
magazines.
I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Continues to ring the bell. She answers the door. There's like a bit of a moment. She thinks it's Joseph. It's not Joseph.
This is longer than a moment. She like starts nuzzling him.
Oh yeah, she's buried in his body, and saying "I love you, I love you, I love you." And he says, "Yeah, I'm not going to get into this annoying conversation. I don't like awkward conversations." And he just says, "I'm not him. I cannot tell.
Look,
I'm younger. I'm not wrinkly.
No wrinkles."
Yeah, and she
and then she checks him out head to toe.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, what
she
an outfit
takes it all
he is
in. He's tall. It takes a while.
Yeah, he is. He's a tall guy, and I guess he just walks into the house at this point.
And she doesn't notice because she's deep in thought.
Yeah, yeah, thinking about Joseph. Because you know, she's thought, oh, he's come back. You know, at this time of need, after her father's had a stroke, as she thinks. You know, it's a good time for him to show. He explains, oh, I need to see Josuke. Blah blah blah. Off he goes. Does he do anything when he's there except kind of say he wants to meet Josuke?
Yeah, I think he says to her that when he's leaving that, if like, listen, if Joseph was still about, he'd like totally save you from the horrors that are about to come. But instead, I'm here.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Now, well, not just he said that he's here. He also says Joseph is too old to come.
Yeah, he's too old to come here.
He is getting on a bit. He is getting on a bit. But he goes down the street.
And he seems to drive straight past the other guys and doesn't see them.
Yeah.
Well, that's a weird transition. Well, I presume it's straight past because they're around the corner.
But there's some strange things going on with the shadows because we see the eyes.
There's a ripple there and all of a sudden there's an arch there, the arch that they walked under while we're getting to the house. And it's like that arch wasn't there. It suddenly ripples and
it could be the hand's power, couldn't it?
Yeah.
It could be like a stand power, like the house is a stand. We've seen a boat stand, so it's not it's not impossible.
And it's only a small town, presumably.
So yeah, it's getting smaller by the minute.
Yeah, literally. Soon, yeah.
Well, based off your man's research, the rate of missing persons is eight times higher than the Japan average.
Like, yeah. Three people are left or something.
It must
be
a big
town.
Yeah. It's a few thousand, I think. But yeah, there's a lot of people missing.
Yeah. And off Jotaro goes driving somewhere and he's looking at the pictures and he says, look, I now know more about this bow, and Yaba had the bow when presumably she gave Dio the stand, the world, and please God don't have another give birth to another villainous
cretin. Need to find this bow before there's someone worse than Dio.
Yeah, which is highly possible.
Is that possible though?
Well,
he was a real dick.
I'm thinking there wouldn't be a series if that
I expect there's a good villain.
Obviously.
And off he goes. We cut back to the boys. And they're talking, they're arguing. He says, look, let me see to him. Let me tend to that wound. I can save him.
I haven't got to the wound bit yet, Anthony.
Have I not?
No.
I thought I had. Oh, well, apologies. I was doing it all right until then. So he is still choking and in agony. And then, thump. A guy from the window, what's his name's brother?
Yes.
Yeah. He shoots an arrow straight through his throat.
Yeah, as opposed to into his mouth like he did to Angelo. He appears to always go for the throat.
Well, it's a good killer spot, I would imagine.
And they've got like a money theme to their clothing. And
billion.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have like a yen badge and a dollar badge on the other side. Yeah.
It feels like a billion yen. I don't know, but yeah. Poor Koichi, he is not looking good. You know, he's probably out of breath, and now he's got an arrow in there. And Josuke is like, let me at him. I can heal him with my stand, blah, blah, blah. And the two brothers are arguing, saying, look, get rid of this guy because he's probably going to cause us some problems.
I love the, like, the older brother, like, shouting from the window. It's like, hey, fucking get rid of that guy. He's like, I'm trying to get rid of him. You know, he's just, like, shouting at him from the second floor. And it seems very, like the dude's just super lazy.
Well, he doesn't have much on offer at the moment. He's lost his arrow.
Well, it seems very brotherly, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just yeah. Like listening giving to his older brother or the smarter brother, possibly, because as Jessica says, you're a bit of an idiot, aren't you? Which I don't think he's that bad.
Well, he let him walk straight by him while he was arguing with his brother.
Yes.
That is true.
And I do love the fact that you see him walk past in the background. There's some great background stuff going on in this show.
It's really
now.
Nice, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ah, great stuff.
And he tries to look after Koichi, and he doesn't really get a chance because... the handstand comes out, the hand, and it's got the dollar symbols and all that kind of stuff. And on his right hand, it's like two large circles.
Yeah, and it's got like Spider-Man spider webs on it as well.
Yeah, it's a weird looking thing. And at this point, obviously, we don't know what his stand really does. And to be honest, when I read this in the manga, I don't think it's very clear the way it works.
Okay.
Whereas it works really well in the show, really, really well. So, Josuke punches him, you know, there's a little bit of altercation, if that's the right word, and he swipes down at the gate, which had a sign on it that said no trespassing. And Josuke notices now that since he's kind of clawed at it, it now says no pressing, or no passing.
He says the tress is missing. And this guy was like, the tray is missing? Why is he speaking French? And I was like, all right.
And what Stan does is... whatever it touches or swipes or grabs, I presume, it removes it. It puts it into a void somewhere.
It removes it, and also it didn't leave that sign like a blank space in it. It made the sign smaller, so that it filled in the space as if there never was a thing there.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it just looks normal. And so Josuke is pretty cautious because that's quite a powerful stand. Even as the guy's brother says, look, your stand gives me the willies, I guess. Because it is a pretty scary power. It's like was the Void got Vanilla Ice?
Yeah.
It's kind of got a similar kind of a racing power.
Yeah,
like
that's just a scary premise, I suppose. Mm. But Josuke goes back against the other side of the street and he says, well, I can kind of just close the gap between us.
By erasing the gap between us.
And that, in the manga, it's so unclear that this happens.
Yeah.
Whereas it works so well, and he swipes down, it's got a bit of that sound effect. Like a...
Oh, yeah, we got a return of sound effects. The arrow makes a ripple noise, and the erasing hand of the hand makes the fart down a metal tube of Dio's powers. Which is great, because I love those sounds.
It's such a good sound effect. Yeah, really good. And he's pulled him in, and he's like... and it pulls him closer, and he punches him, and pulls him closer, he's hitting him. And he continues to do this over and over again. And to be fair, it's just a normal punch to Josuke, so it's not all that. You know, he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
And there's some plant pots behind Josuke, and the time he pulls the gap, I guess, he ducks and the plant pots go flying in, cracks him in the face. And Josuke goes over and he's on the bottom. He says, maybe I should strangle him out.
That was kind of messed up. Yeah, it's like, I guess I better strangle him.
Well,
it's
the thinking which heroes don't normally do. They leave the fallen bad guy so they can come and get him later.
But it's like, a very D&D thing. It's like, oh, let's do the coup de grace so we don't fucking have to deal with this shit no more.
There's a perfect logic there. Risky logic for a good guy, but perfect logic.
But we see in the background that Koichi's being dragged off.
Yeah, just getting dragged in the doorway. His prone body. Oh, jeez.
And then we find out that this is the only arrow he's got. So he kind of needs it.
Yeah.
Pulls it out.
I guess that makes sense why he, so far, what he's seen, he doesn't seem to shoot it very far, just in case he loses it in the woods or something.
Yeah, you'd be a bit disappointed. It's quite a good arrow to lose. But, I don't think I missed anything.
You covered most of it, yeah. Oh, another thing I did like that was kind of a callback is anytime Jotaro was talking about, I need that photo from the Speedwagon Foundation that we had from back in the day, and it kind of used the old Stardust Crusaders theme. Anytime he was referring to Dio or kind of past stuff, it was just really, really subtle there. It was really nice.
Yeah, the eye catch was one of these tourist information pages.
Yeah. It was the full page on the Angelo Stone.
Yeah. And we also got the bit of them walking past the Angelo Stone saying, is it yo, Angelo?
Hey, Angelo. Yo, Angelo. And I was like, has that always been there? Whatever. The other kid is like,
and
yo,
it
Angelo.
It kind of makes this horrible, tiny noise in reply.
You know, it's just like a groan of, please, I want to die. Because you can, it has like giant stone eyes, but you can see like the little human eyes inside it. And it's just like, oh, it's really horrible. A fate worse than death.
Such a good episode, especially because I know some things that are coming up, so it's setting up perfectly.
Oh, man, yeah, this show is still super exciting and still looks fucking great. And
yeah, it's the best the show has ever been.
It is.
It's crazy, right? It's crazy to say this fucking early in. It's like, is this like the best JoJo's ever? Because they've been so good.
Yeah, it's much better than Star Wars Crusaders was.
Yeah, it seems to have like the pace a little better for it anyway.
Yeah, and
we're
the production
only 3 weeks
design
in,
is.
But I agree.
If it'd be hard to drop the ball at this stage. But holy crap! Yeah, it's.
I mean,
it's
providing
so good.
They keep it up the way they're going, and all the stand users I've seen, are really interesting. Not to say Star Wars Crusaders weren't, but these are better stand users.
More
I think
powers,
they're cooler, like in, more interesting powers, more unique than. Not that they were, as I say, not that they were born in Star Wars Crusaders, just that they're a bit less fighty-fighty and more gimmicky,
yeah.
Which you'll see.
Puzzly.
Yeah.
Well, the puzzles are the best ones, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Have we gone over the voices? I think we did. I think we said that the guy doing Koichi is, I think last time we heard him was Speed of Sound Sonic. I remember saying that on a podcast.
Yeah, I've heard someone say that, and it would only be you, because I don't do any other podcasts.
So we've got a new voice, obviously, here, a new regular character.
Uh-huh.
Spoiler alert, he's in the opening credits. And it's Wataru Takagi, who is approaching 50 years old, playing a teenage boy.
What's he doing?
What's he done? He's Onizuka in Great Teacher Onizuka.
Oh.
He's the Japanese voice of Garfield. he's assorted characters in One Piece, so I'm hoping he comes back as. Because there's a character based on Garfield about to appear.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hoping they just get him in to do the voice.
Yeah.
Particularly because the guy who plays Brooke used to play the vice principal or the principal in GTO? His nemesis in GTO, the guy with the bald head and glasses.
Okay. Yeah, that's all really fitting together very well.
That would be perfect. who else is he? All sorts of things.
What about his brother? Who does...
Oh, let me see if there's a name for his brother.
He's got a great voice.
Keiichi Nijimura is played by Tomoyuki Shimura. And let's see what he's done. Anything I recognise him from? No.
No.
I'm going down here to his bold things. No, there's nothing I recognise him from.
Mm. Nothing I would know. Nothing obscure like Sword Art Online.
I should look at Sword Art Online for you. Yeah. That was always the thing. No.
That is always the other thing.
Do they just need a lot of characters in that?
Not particularly, but it always seems like there'd be somebody who's done something in Sword Art Online.
The ZX Toll in the TV version of Guyver.
Okay.
But no, nothing I recognise him from in there. Righty-ho. That's JoJo's. It's great.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Not much more needs to be said.
Yeah.
Space Patrol Luluco. Season 1, Episode 3. In which we learn why these episodes are called Season 1. Did you watch after the credits?
Yeah.
Dwayne, okay, that's good. Otherwise, I would be surprising you there.
Yeah, I was just going like, wait, did that just say, end of season? Or...
Continued next season, it says.
Continued next season.
At the end of this episode. So I assume the joke is going to be that they're going to like fly through like multiple seasons worth of plot lines in a very short
within
amount of time.
One season, technically, yeah.
Because in this episode, they wrap up the case of Save the World. and the illegal black holes, sorry, quasi-legal black holes at school.
Yeah, initially Ulico wants to, you know, walk around with the hot dude, and he's like, it would be better if we split up, we'll cover more ground. She's like, okay, I'll walk around school. She talks to one of her alien friends, and their friend is like, it's like, oh, you want me to get it for you? I'll give you a trial. So she just walks into a class and is like, wait a minute, I got a hot tip. Bust open the entire crime ring that's full of aliens and a bunch of street sharks.
Street sharks?
Yeah, there's some street sharks.
Street sharks in there. One is dialogue. The hammerhead guy doesn't get anything to say. And yeah, she was her friend. I forgot her friend's name. Midori.
Midori. Yes.
Yeah. She was saved the world this whole time, which apparently is a name that sounds suspicious.
Yeah, that was my favorite line.
It's like, that sounds like an evil organization name. It's like, no, it doesn't. yeah, she initially doesn't want to solve it by violence because it's her classmate, I guess. It's someone she's known.
Yeah.
But she uses the black hole app on her phone to grab your man and use him as a handgun, which was pretty great. I'm trying to remember all the things that happened.
So she's like, oh, yeah, shooting will solve this. Drawn.
He's so passive. It's like, I don't mind. You know, you can shoot him or not. Whatever. It's all good.
And she takes a Midori out with a bouncing bullet around the classroom.
That was great because you could see it slowly like edging towards her. And it's like, where were you even aiming, you idiot? And then she gets hit by it eventually.
And then they have a romantic moment.
Yeah.
Where she says, do you want me to keep on being normal? And he says, no, just keep on being wonderful.
Aww.
And then, like,
it's a good line.
Shall we go back to the station? And she's like, no, Steph, let's stay for a little bit longer because he's like...
A little bit longer. And he's like, what? And he's like, let's go back.
And then the credits roll, and then after the credits, you get this long scene of Midori basically apologizing.
Like half-assed, like completely half-assedly apologizing. Listen, I'm really sorry. I've learned my lesson. I've mended my ways. And freaking
Overjustice is like, no, you committed a crime, you've got to be executed. And she says, no, I really do apologize. I'd like to join the space patrol. He goes, okay, you can join the space patrol.
No one's ever volunteered, so okay. I knew it was coming because that's basically the joke with him. He's entirely set in his ways, and then you say, come on, and he's like, all right. You know, he completely changes his opinion. I love that joke though. It really works.
Yeah, the delivery of whoever's playing Midori is just perfect. Everything is so drenched in insincerity.
Yeah, just sarcasm. I'm so sorry. I want to join the Space Patrol and do, like, justice and stuff. You know, she's great. I'm really enjoying this show. I think if this was stretched out at any length, it probably wouldn't be a thing. But, yeah, like you say, they're even packing seasons in.
Yeah, three episodes in next week, season two. Sorted. If only Game of Thrones was this short.
Well, I didn't watch it. I'm off the Space Patrol.
You got to catch up on this season, man. Season 2 is coming up pretty soon.
You better binge watch it.
It might take you over a half an hour.
No, I think the episode's nine minutes each episode, so I think you're good.
Okay.
I think there's other shows that are better that I like.
That are, like, shorter than a half an hour.
Yeah.
Okay,
let me go to my calendar. See,
I know I've watched a lot this week and I keep forgetting what I've watched.
I watched like three things I didn't need to watch and I was just like, I was sorry I did because they weren't good.
Not to delete things.
Lost Village, let's talk Lost Village episode 2.
We can talk Lost Village episode 2 if you want
to hop
around. Yeah, so after saying I wasn't sure I was going to watch this, I ended up watching it. Because it's
by accident?
No, because it's like
Saturday
morning. Yeah,
first thing.
That's the problem. If you're crap, but on a weekend, there's a better chance that I'll watch you.
It's shit, isn't it?
Sorry, I don't know.
I might give it one more episode, but if it doesn't get its shit together pretty soon,
it's well made shit.
It nearly seems like it's going somewhere.
It does. And some of the characters are amusing in their annoyingness, like the guy who gets annoyed at that other guy's name being Jack because of his ridiculously long...
I like the guy with the butt chin and the eye patch. Yes. I like that guy. Some guys who are so, like, tropey, like the cat girl who's the only other survivalist.
Yeah, I think that's the point, Anthony. I don't think you're supposed to like any of them.
Yeah,
they're all shit, really. Well, they're either ineffectual or actively shitty.
The thing is, there's a lot of stuff out there where someone will be a total dick, but you'll think, oh, this is a bloody good character, where all these characters are dicks and they're paper thin. Well, like, I know it's only two episodes in, admittedly.
Yeah,
there's 31 characters, isn't there?
Yeah, something like that.
So, and they're all kind of either ineffectual or dicks, so it'll be satisfying to see them killed off. That's it. Like, and if they don't kill them off, they're doing something wrong.
I hope they don't. I hope people...
That was kind of what I was thinking, Anthony, as well. There would be a perverse pleasure in the fact that none of them... You think it's going to be like a murder mystery and there's going to be some sort of horror, but it would just be tense all the way to the very end and nothing actually happens.
They could totally pull that. That would be actually pretty good if they managed to pull that off.
I would tell people to watch it.
Just like, I want that motherfucker to die, but nobody's dying.
See, I think the advantage of there being 30 of these characters is that while they've barely got any personalities, and they've all, you don't spend too much time with them.
That's true, that's
within 30 minutes, each one gets less than a minute screen time.
anyway, if this was a game, like a visual novel game,
I'd
probably be
like
into
that as well.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
I don't know. So what happened this week? They drove some more. They found the village.
It was abandoned.
Two people went missing.
Yeah. Oh, they were all like, the bus driver, they managed to make him crash off the fucking, off the road. And they were trying to push a bus up on from like a ridge. And they were just like, here, we'll just give you all our money because we're not going to use it anyway. We're abandoning all society. And okay, quick thing. Is the implication that he felt like really dirty for taking all their money and just like, oh, this is my fucking life, is it? Or did they all give him empty wallets?
Well, no, he was in the bus. He was in the bus and someone knocked on the door of the bus.
Yeah, there was that as well.
And we saw something else something moving in the bushes later on. Yeah, so there was a couple of guys who were planning on getting a bit rapey.
Jesus, like one guy was just like, hey, that girl's a real bitch. And she's like, I don't know, I think she's pretty cute. And he's like, yeah, I'd take that. Let's see if I can get her into the back room. And the other guy was like, dude, what the fuck?
And they're some of the guys.
DJ looking dude. Yeah.
He's got missing by the end. There's someone is revealed that she's a detective. So she.
Yeah. Her online name is Detective Whatever the Fuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's one of them is like obsessed with executing people.
Yeah, that's her first port of call. It's like, what if everyone in this village was actually executed? It's like, hey, the bus driver's here. He can't be here. We should execute him. That's her thing, I guess.
See, I didn't pick up. I picked up on that one, but all the ones you've mentioned previously, over my head. That shows how much I was into it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, I've forgotten basically all the names.
Yeah, I mean, the lead is still doing stuff, but he's like girls were trying to flirt with him, and he was like, "Oh, not interested in you." And they got annoyed at him for
The girl who was trying to play like string him along. It was really annoyed that she couldn't string him along, and I was just like, "What is happening in this show? They're really unlikable."
They're trying to do this like mystery thing. It's about as mysterious as my arse. Like,
there's a mystery. It's an empty village.
There is, but I don't care. That's the thing, like, they've done it so poorly.
It hasn't hooked me into why I should care about any of these assholes.
Tell me about the village, and I might care. Like,
sure. That's what I mean, like, it needs to get that hooks in episode 3, or, like, soon. Fucking soon, goddammit, because...
Yep.
Like, we don't care. The most thing we care about is a village that nobody occupies. And it's like, yeah, you're right. That is the most interesting character in the show. I'm invested in the village, not in any of the actual humans running around it. That's a bad sign.
But it might turn out great. It might be amazing. It might be the best show. Like, I don't know any... Is it based on a manga?
I believe it's all original.
Oh, it doesn't...
From Mario Kada.
What's he doing again?
She,
we've made that mistake before.
I believe the woman called Fujiko Mine.
Ah.
I think, did she do that one? Yeah, she did. Yeah.
See, that's good. And you know I really like that as well.
Yeah. That's probably the only thing you've seen of hers that you like, whereas I think everything I've seen of hers I don't like.
Is that because you think she's working from, like, strong characters from the get-go? Like, obviously the Lupin characters are more well-established, so you know...
I'd say problems with this are also in a woman called Fujiko Mine.
Okay.
And also, in the other thing she's writing this season, which we might as well talk about that, Kiz Naiva.
Oh.
Do you watch this, Dwayne?
Yeah, I did watch this.
Yeah, this looks great, it's really well made, but there's another bunch of annoying characters. There's less of them, so you have to spend more time with them.
Yeah, and there's a thing that really bugs me about this. You're absolutely right. It looks great. It's a fucking beautiful looking show, which is really annoying because you're one who sends up the central premise that you are all the modern day seven deadly sins, and it's like all the deadly sins is like, that's not really a sin, dude. Like one guy, you act all normal, but you like hitting on girls. It's like, that's not the worst thing in the world. It's like, what's her one? Oh, she thinks she's high and mighty. It's like, what's his one? Well, he's a thug. It's like, not really. He tried to help out that kid. What's her one? It's like, she's a goody two-shoes. It's like,
I don't know, she's trying to help
her friend. That seems just like a good thing.
Blanking out on huge chunks of this. There's this weird girl who's kidnapped a bunch of her classmates.
Yeah.
With these, is it like robot bears or something she's got?
They're like
weird, have to sell this.
Giant fucking mascot.
Yeah.
That are around all town.
Like, and then she, and she puts in, she's basically experiments on them so that they'll all share their pain.
Yeah, and they wanted to share it with one guy who basically could feel no pain. The main guy, the guy with the shock white hair.
And
didn't like getting beaten up, which is apparently a sin to not feel pain. That's a medical condition.
And it takes a very long time for Nightwish to happen. And
yeah, like the thing you've just described of her kidnapping is like happens at the end. It's all fucking bizarrely somehow set up until that point.
But there's only
that weird girl blames him for her pushing. She pushes him down the stairs to break his bones to see if the pain thing works. And she says, it's like, oh, he jumped down the stairs. And I was like, this fucking asshole.
How is that kind of stuff delivered? Is it quite not humorous, but
no.
No, it's not humorous. If it was played like darkly humorous, I would, I could see how that would work.
There's two kind of humorous characters. There's the guy who's like very loud and
the anti-bully.
Yeah.
And I like him. I like his design as well.
And the girl, because basically the mascot characters had to kidnap all of them apart from the girl who's obsessed with cute things. She just followed the mascots.
She follows the mascots, yeah. She's obsessed with finding magical fairies or something.
Yes.
Right.
Her sin is being like airy fairy.
It's not good.
I'm so disappointed to hear this. I've not had a chance to watch it yet. I've been busy, but this was on the list. This was one of the ones that I was told people at KitaCon, oh, you should watch. Look, keep an eye out for this.
It looks great. It looks absolutely lovely. Like, I'll give it another episode just to see, now that the premise is set up, if it'll do anything with that. But,
here's a question. Would you two be as critical of it if there was less to watch this season?
Potentially, but I mean, like...
No, I think I'd still be critical. I don't like Mario Kada's writing,
It's really difficult to get into story-wise. Visually, I enjoyed watching it. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't like Iron-Blooded Orphans, which she did as well. So.
Oh, I hated that show. Oh, gosh. I really didn't like that one bit.
Do you want to drop it straight away, or do you want to give it another shot?
Let's see, give it another
week. Let me and Niall.
Yeah, okay.
Because of the day it's on, you might get another one in.
Yeah, I might get another one in. Let's see. Who knows? Okay, let's go with...
Joker game?
Okay, yeah.
Speaking of...
Talking of things people are giving up on.
Again, I think I'll give it a third episode, but... God.
This wrapped up, I assume, just a two-part story called Joker Game. This was Joker Game Part 2.
It feels like this could have nearly been wrapped up in one episode, these two episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, I think... It's wordy enough as it is. If this had been pressed into one, jeez Louise.
Like basically this episode is explaining everything that went on at the end of the first episode.
It's true. That is true.
I'm getting clicking from somebody.
Clicking?
Yeah. Like a clicking. You're not fiddling with your wires again, are you,
Anthony? Hold on, let me just... is that okay?
That sounds a bit better, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if my wire or my cable was just loose there. I just fixed it. All right.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, so Sakuma is about to kill himself over Seppuku, isn't it, with the swords?
Yeah.
And Harikari?
Just
where you put your stomach or
Yeah, I think that's what the American calls it or something. Something something show, yeah.
Harry Hill.
Actually, I forgot to mention the last episode. I love that guy's English.
Apparently, Harikiri is a vulgarism. Or commonly pointed out. Okay, right.
Well, he's a foreigner, so yeah. I think that's what he calls it.
It's either, yes. Yeah. Either's fine.
We just know so many Japanese things.
Yeah, so...
you're not a weeboo like the American in this show.
Oh, no, it's commonly pointed out that harakiri is a vulgarism, but this is a misunderstanding, apparently.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, so he calls it harakiri. Yes, you're right, I remember now. As his eyes go... I know, later on his eyes go... He's overacting. This is the problem I've got with the show. Is there's two problems. Two of the characters overact crazily in this episode.
Well, it's all right for him to overact because he's trying to be like, I'm trying to be as Japanese as hell. Like, he's just a really shitty spy, is the way I look at it.
But when, everyone's a really shitty spy. That's the problem. No one's got a poker face.
Yeah, considering the amount of, like, card references, yeah, the poker face lacking is a bit of a problem.
Whenever something's going well for one of these spies, they start smirking.
So I don't think... If you were there, it would be as obvious, but it's kind of got to show it.
Yeah, well, they specifically zoom in on the little smirk, like it's and it's. I say little smirk; it's like goes right across their face, like a freaking Cheshire cat.
But yeah, just before he's about to kill himself, he realizes where he's hidden it because obviously
the one place a military officer would never touch.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Imperial portrait.
The Imperial portrait. And true
Your man set him up that clue as well earlier. Praise to the Imperial portrait every day or morning or an evening. I forget what they said. But it's like, that set up where exactly it's going to be, you know?
And there's something else he says, something like invisible people and invisible things. And it all clicked in his head. It didn't make much sense to me, but I'm no spy.
But then the bulk of the episode is more about him figuring out why... The guy who'd sent him as the liaison.
Why he did this job in the first place. Yes.
Had already sent somebody here previously.
Because I was thinking, I was initially thinking, like, was this like a setup to ruin him? Like, were they specifically trying to take him out? Because it's like, oh, if we set him up, he'll have to fail. And that's why one of the guys goes, oh, he'll totally kill himself if he fails. You know, was it a foolproof plan to get him? But it was like, it was something considerably dumber, I guess.
It's just to make someone look good, isn't it?
Yeah.
To make sure someone didn't look like a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that way, making him look good, sure.
So it's less...
I was also thinking, was it set up to make the spy agency fail and therefore look bad and get their funding cut and all that kind of thing?
But the thing is, the spy were parading around as a military police, so it would have only looked bad on the...
Yeah, but they were doing a spy operation. Again, I thought it was set up to try and make someone take a fall, but it's just to make someone not look like an idiot.
So, yeah, Sakai was both investigating his boss and also Yuki, the head of the... whatever the department's called, I can't remember.
Yeah, the military thing.
Yeah,
the
department. Yeah, it's Muto is the guy who sent him across, and Yuki's
the Japanese Cultural Society or something, isn't it? Yeah.
And, so the bulk of the spying is actually on... It's like interdepartmental spying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the storyline, which I thought was clever, and he sort of finds out more about Yuki from observing him.
Which is some nice little reveals.
And Yuki says, do you want me to train you as a spy? And Sakuma's like, no, I'm much better as a soldier.
Yeah. I thought they were already spies.
No, but isn't. He's just the military liaison.
He's the liaison between the military and the spy agency.
Yeah.
See, I genuinely thought he was in the squad.
No, really? That's why he was looking at them.
That's why he was disgusted when they were just fucking with him. It's like,
That. But I'm sure he's skilled because he knows so much about this spy agency.
Well, that's probably why he was made a liaison, that he has some talent in it. Your man, like, I presume honestly, like, says, dude, you want me to train you to be a spy? You'd actually be not bad. And he's like, no, I prefer not to be a dick. Thanks.
but are they really? Because the thing they point out is that.
They could be playing with him. Yeah,
yes. If you have to kill somebody or yourself, then something's gone wrong with your spying.
Yes.
Yeah, you're shite.
So it's the idea that spying is somehow there to prevent wars happening. Mm. And Sakuma's, because they also discuss, like, is like what to do with this American spy. We'll let him take those. Just, we left everything behind because...
Yeah, now he works for us.
Yes, well, I'll turn him into a double agent.
They know all those codes, so just change those codes. Now they have all the wrong fucking codes.
And they'll think
he can't admit that he has all the wrong codes, because then that would make him look bad, so this is just a benefit to us.
Yeah. And I think like the fact that the guy's filled like his entire house with to look as Japanese as possible is obviously suggested that he likes Japanese culture, so therefore he's probably easy to turn into a double agent.
Yeah.
I like that philosophical difference, but yeah, not watching any more of this.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Yeah, that's fair. I can understand that.
It's too serious. Well, the problem is it wants to be too serious, and yet you've got the way the colonel is performed and drawn, and the way the American spy is performed and drawn, and the smirking.
Yeah, if it continues that kind of like the overacting and the what did you call it? Scenery chewing.
Yes,
chewing on the scenery.
It's a bit too on the nose with that.
I think it's got potential for some twists and turns, but it depends how big it goes. Like if it's
I don't think it goes very big. It's like it's episodic with all the different.
And it's quite small scale, although
parts of the world.
It's like big parts of like culture and politics of the times. Like one spy is pretty small scale. I need some big twists and turns, but I'm going to stick with it though. Whether we discuss it or not, probably not.
Like I said, I'll give it another shot.
I mean, I'm happy not to talk about this again. I'm happy to watch it, but
okay. Let's go down my list now. Okay, Shonen Ishibe Go Go Goma-chan episode 2, Swim Goma-chan, in which they go to the baths. It's Ishibe's dad, Ishibe, Goma-chan, Mao-chan, who's a kid who doesn't say anything, behaves slightly weird and has the same eyes as the seal, and another kid whose name I didn't get.
Yeah, you got other kid and you got mouth breather, and I can't remember like any other names.
And so they have fun at the baths with piranhas.
That was unusual.
It was unusual. I was like, is that odd, or is that a thing that people have, like, exotic fish at these baths?
Well, maybe it's like it's a perfectly traditional Japanese bath, except your one has a penchant for exotic fish. Just coincidentally.
And, of course, the seal wants to eat the fish.
Yeah, not knowing that there are piranhas.
No, but the seal still ends up in the fish tank.
You can't. It's like a Chekhov's gun. You can't introduce piranhas and not use them. Yeah.
And it's just it suffers a little compared to the first episode in that it's all one situation, and so there was the school and at home in the previous one, so it got a bit of variety. But as a setup to the very final gag of Ishibe's old friend at the beach not able to go swimming because there are apparently piranhas wherever he is.
Apparently they're common in Japan now. I did not know that.
Well, I assume he's in Japan. He might be.
Oh, that's true.
Abroad.
Yeah. I there's a few jokes I liked in it. Like, I liked the kids were swimming in it and the dad was like, hey, no swimming in the pool. And then he gets given out to by the lady running the place, no floating.
Yeah, and she just knows that he's doing it. She doesn't even have to look.
Yeah, she just knows from experience.
Didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it?
Nah.
Oh, dear me, you've gone all Dwayne on us. You're refusing to watch the cute animal show.
How dare you? I like this show.
You didn't like Muko, though, did you?
I don't get how you can prefer this to Muko.
Because it's nice.
It's better animated.
It is way better animated.
The characters are not as good.
I like them.
Yeah, they're very well behaved.
They seem nice.
But Muko.
Well, I mean, like, besides messing around in the bath, yeah, they're very well behaved.
Ushiko! Komatsu!
Listen, the only guy I liked in, I think, the entirety of Muko was Ushigo by the end of it.
Komatsu's great. Muko's great.
He's a dick.
Obviously, you just prefer it if the seal talked. He'd be okay.
That, if it had Muko's voice as well.
Yeah, I think that might put me off.
That would put me right in. I would love it.
That's the difference between us.
I like talking animals.
I like squeaky animals.
Okay, let's go with Tonkatsu DJ Akitaro. Let's see if we find some common ground here. So, in which a Tonkatsu chef, the heir to his dad's restaurant, gets told to deliver a meal to a club. The guy he's delivering it to lets him go in. He decides he loves clubs, and then... what's his name? Big Master Fry...
Big Master Fry, the legendary DJ that's been there since the start of the club scene.
The genie of New York performs, and it really speaks to him, and he decides he wants to be a DJ, and he also realises that because the moves that Big Master Fry performs on the deck.
I kind of like that. It's like he realizes his he doesn't give a fuck about the tonkatsu initially, but he sees his father's mastery, and he sees that in your man's mastery of spinning the discs, and he figures, wait a minute, and also, I get this.
This and is the same BPM as chopping cabbage. Yeah, and so he goes back to his dad and says, teach me your skills, because he's going to become Tonkatsu DJ Akitaro.
So this is a good opening episode.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the best.
This one really sells you. It's like, yeah, more of this, please, I think.
Yeah, it's just so full of joy. It's like,
yeah,
the guy is just so happy. He enters this new world and it all instantly clicks with him.
I don't know how... Maybe Japan's different, but they all seem very keen on the club. And they're not even drinking. Like, I hate nightclubs.
They're just there to dance and have a good time.
Maybe you'd like nightclubs if they were like this.
Yeah, looks nice, clean. Everyone's having fun, dancing, I guess. So yeah, yeah. And the music is amazing.
It is.
I think my favorite bit is where the he's having like a vision of the DJ speaking directly to him. And it translates his American into Japanese, and then you get both the subtitles. I fucking love that.
Really great New York accent going on there. As it's Akitaro Doichi, I assume he just transcribed whatever was exactly in the comic, because I've seen some screenshots of the comic and against the anime, and it's like you could just probably put one over the top and they'd match up instantly.
I think my favorite translation, I'm trying to remember what it was translated about, because the DJ goes, for show, and it's translated as absolutely or something like that. It's pretty great.
Yeah, I like this a lot. I think this is really fun. Of the comedies I've watched, this is the one. And I mean, it doesn't have to be hilarious throughout.
It didn't have many jokes even.
No,
yeah,
it doesn't.
Yeah,
it was just an interesting enough tale with a unique bunch of characters, because the main guy is great.
I think you got the word right there, Brian. Joyful is definitely the kind of the feel of it.
I think Lovely Muko was joyful as well. So.
Fair enough.
Okay, let's go with Bungo Stray Dogs, episode 2. But Anthony, you watched episode 1, but not episode 2.
Yeah, I wasn't big on it. So go ahead. I was a little disappointed.
What did you like about it?
He turned into a tiger.
I don't know. I was watching it and I was like, why aren't I loving this? Because if somebody was to describe the plot, the powers, what potential it's got, I'd be well on board. But I don't know. I just felt it was lacking something. And I don't know what. It's just, I feel like it's got the story and the potential, but it's just hasn't got the beef. Like, it needs some beef.
Well,
I know it's only been one episode, but
very little beef in episode 2. Except after the credits, when the villain shows up.
Is the villain cool?
She seems to be some connection to the main character in that she's got a very similar haircut. And she's...
Wait, that was a woman?
I think so.
I thought it was a dude.
Could be a dude. I don't know.
Then again, the main character is very effeminate looking. Yes. So, yeah. Okay.
I think there'll be siblings, if that's the case.
Right.
I'm assuming she's the villain, or he's the villain, because... The way they're dressed and the demonic head which appeared from.
Yeah, they have a black cloak and a big cravat looking thing. It's fairly villain fabulous. So yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, there's other than that, there's very little beef in this episode because basically I can't remember any of the guys' names yet. But
the one called Desai?
Yeah, so he plays a trick on the main character. He's going to help him get a job.
He says, oh, I'll help you get another job since you don't want to work in the thing. Because he just says, I just want to work a regular job. I don't want any jobs fighting dudes with superpowers. No, thank you. But he says, oh, yeah, I'll get you a real job. Oh, we just got to stop by. They get stopped by the guy with the glasses. I've forgotten all their names as well.
Yeah, he says, there's a guy with a bomb in the office. We've got to get back there and sort it out.
And the whole time there and during there, he's like, hey, I got to go. I got to go. I don't want to be near no bombs.
And so the entire episode is them playing a trick on it. This bomb situation is the interview for the job at the armed detectives.
Mm.
because they're going to see how he deals with it, which he does by sacrificing himself for everybody else in the office when the bomb goes off.
Yeah.
It turns out the bomber and his hostage are part of the detective agency.
No, the hostage is just his little sister.
His little sister, yes. Who seems to have like some weird sort of brother complex.
Yep, yep.
And then the president of the office shows up with his own theme tune, which is the best bit of the episode.
I know, he's got like fucking like a little bit of, it's electric guitar, like just jamming in the background.
But it's
whenever
constantly, every scene he's in, the theme is constantly
It just makes
playing.
Him seem cooler. Yeah, it's pretty good.
And he gets the second Three Musketeers reference of the week, because his power is called, is it One for All and All for One?
Something
along that line, because Kiss Naiva uses All for One, doesn't
yeah, he? Yeah, yeah. It's one of those two phrases, yeah.
I believe Hero Academia. Sorry.
No, I think his power is actually All Men Are Created Equal or something, isn't it?
Is it? I could be wrong then.
Yeah, something
was,
like that.
Straight. Yeah. I thought it was. Okay, maybe I was only. Maybe there are only two references going to come up, because My Hero Academia will also make that reference eventually.
I'm just worried that this is Blood Blockade Battlefront Sugar Free. Like Blood Blockade Battlefront had each episode was really damn good.
Mm.
Whereas I know I've only seen one. I've only seen one so far, but it was lacking. I mean, I want to watch more because I want it to be good because I like the look of it. But I don't know.
I think that's a fair comparison. I think they're trying to do something a little different from that. Especially like comedically, they're going a little different. But
it feels kind of that they're adapting a comic though. Whereas Blood Blockade Battlefront felt like they were adapting a comic and wedging a whole load of other stuff which isn't in the comic in.
Okay, yeah.
Whether you like that or not is another matter. But
yeah, the problem is like when you kind of compare two shows with similar themes like that, which we're going to be doing again in this very podcast, you kind of end up, it doesn't come across as good as it can of its own merits. I don't know, I think this show is pretty good. I'm going to stick with it. I don't know if you feel the same. I doubt you do, Anthony.
I mean, as I say, I've only seen one episode, but this was one of the shows when we did the preview. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be great. Whereas there's some good stuff this season, but there's nothing other than JoJo's that is amazing. At least for me, as of yes.
Okay.
That's because you're not watching Concrete Revolution. But before we get to that, we've got two more things to talk about. And that is...
Two more things.
Yeah, we've got Dragon Ball Super to talk about.
Oh, yeah, that's an amazing show.
Universe 6's Strongest Warrior, Enter Hit the Assassin.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no, three more things. There's something else on the next page.
Yeah, and there's...
Hang on. So I think I've still got to talk about... It's My Hero Academia. We've got two episodes of that to talk about. Concrete Revolution. Dragon Ball Super, Kuma Miko.
Did you not watch Ken Benary? I still don't know how to say that word.
No, because it didn't air this week. Because of the
The first episode.
Oh, yeah, I watched that before, didn't I? Yeah, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, talk about that.
I've watched
the first
one since.
So. Okay, it's Dragon Ball Super, Universe 6's Strongest Warrior, Enter, Hit the Assassin. Anthony is now fully back on board with Dragon Ball Super.
Beyond on board. I am...
It took you long enough, dude.
Well, I had a good bloody right. I was burnt. I felt so hard done by the first huge chunk.
Look, I imagine we're going to drop this as soon as it starts adapting a movie again.
But they haven't made a movie, so...
Yeah, so we're good for a while.
The next movie
isn't
due till after this finishes, I believe.
Yeah, so we're good for quite a while, I think. I think we're going to be okay.
And hopefully that movie is different from the series entirely, and it's just its own story, because that would be even better.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'd watch a movie of this tournament arc, though, with better animation.
Yeah, okay.
So, I thought badly animated?
It has its ups and downs.
Yeah.
I thought Vegeta was going to, like, fight this whole episode, but I was pleasantly surprised.
I was pleased he didn't.
I thought they were going to leave it as the cliffhanger at the end of the thing. It's like, oh no, Vegeta lost. But they don't fuck around in this arc, which is pretty great. You don't feel like it's time wasting.
No, it's pretty good. Mm. Even though its power is kind of to waste time.
Well, I was thinking it's very Dio, you know.
It is.
Yeah.
So we can stop time for a tenth of a second.
Yeah.
Which I don't think. But then again, I've always for years assumed Dragon Ball Z characters are like stupidly godly strong, but I guess now they're not. You know, they've kind of been brought down a peg, so maybe
To bring them down just to make this, make any kind of fight viable.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's times in Dragon Ball Z and stuff where I feel like a tenth of a second freeze in time is simply not enough.
But if everyone moves at super speed in this, so if that you move true. Super speed so, in a tenth of a second, that's the idea.
That's only going to be his first power. He's only having to use that power against Vegeta.
But I'm surprised he's going to have another power.
He's going to have something else up his sleeve, I imagine, yeah.
Maybe.
Like, the other thing I was thinking, like, he hasn't demonstrated any ability to fly, so why don't you just fly up in the fucking air while you figure his shit out?
That's the point, actually. I never considered a more powerful technique or anything.
No, you're right, it is all men are created equal.
Oh, okay.
So I was wrong.
Similar sounding, and you said, it's been showing up a lot lately. So,
let's talk about Hit. Hit's cool. Hit's a cool looking character.
Yeah, my favorite thing is where he puts his hands in his pockets. It's just like, he doesn't even give a fuck.
I like his fighting style with like the
really close guard thing.
Yeah, and the pointy technique. Like pressure points and stuff. I've always liked that kind of stuff in like films and stuff. So
I thought this episode was going to be called the Hitman Hit. Like, wasn't that the preview in the last episode? Because now they're trying to say the Assassin Hit, and I was like, they're missing a trick there.
See, I never watch previews anymore. So.
I think they got the hit. I think they got the translation right.
but Hitman Hit, it's perfect. Better not get hit by Hitman Hit. He hits real hard. You know, just keep going with it.
I like how Goku goes down to fight and hits. Is he not going to power up? And he's like, nope, that's going to blow all my stamina, so I'm just going to wait it out and find out what your trick is.
And he's like, you really shouldn't tell me your plan, dude. And he asks advice for everyone going down there. He's like, do you have any idea what I should do? And they're like, no. But he's just like, I don't have a fucking clue, dude. Good luck.
This is the cleverest, the most smart that Goku has ever been.
He's great at fighting. That's the only thing he's good at.
But usually, you would take an absolute beating.
Oh, for several episodes.
Then realize someone's power. Whereas...
But yeah, this show doesn't fuck around.
No, I guess not.
He's getting straight to the point. He's like, I got you pegged.
Yeah. So who's going to win the tournament? Because I've got a feeling that it won't be obvious.
Well, also, they finally reveal... what's his name's power? He's got a girl's name. I keep forgetting it.
Monica.
Monica. They finally reveal what Monica's deal is.
Oh, is that? See, I didn't get. Is that the other character?
Monica is the one with the big nipples.
Oh well, who?
That's what it means on their planet. Monica finally wakes up with the gong of the start of the fight with Goku.
Oh, is that the little fish-looking thing?
No, it's the pink guy.
Yeah,
the pink guy in the green wrestling gear.
Yeah, that's the guy.
He looks like a weird fish.
Sorry, when you said fish, I thought you meant the king of the universe.
Oh, no. See, I didn't know how that character came about, so I was kind of like, so what's going on?
Because he got his... it was his turn to
He figured it out. That was great. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot the king of the universe is here. Actually, I know what his power is. It's like, what? I forgot that jellyfish was here. Like also, that. I keep forgetting the dog is there every time I see that dog in the background.
I enjoyed it. I think it was fine form.
Hmm.
2 for 2 for me. Cause bear in mind, I've totally disregarded all the stuff at the beginning.
Could go back and catch up.
Oh, I couldn't. Once over, I would have forced myself, but not now.
Okay, Kuma Miko, Girl Meets Bear was this first episode. I did not watch the second episode. I did not watch all of the first episode.
It's a good thing I didn't watch the second episode then.
I bailed halfway through.
Jeez.
So a girl, apparently 14-year-old
shrine maiden
wants to move to the city, or at least go to school in the city. And a bear is trying to disavow her of this notion because she's some sort of brainless hick. And he might be right on that front. However, there is not.
I don't understand how you don't like this, because it has a cute talking animal and it has a quiz. Like, those are some of your favorite things.
Yeah, that's
things.
Fine, but there's an awful long bit of the bear just creepily imagining her as a younger girl.
Yeah, this show does get creepy.
There's not enough jokes. The jokes which are in there are fine, but there's not enough of them per minute.
See, I thought this was going to be another, like, 10-minute or less thing.
Yeah,
and
it'd be great like that.
It would work a lot better, yeah.
So that, I also watched via VPN, whatever the thingy, Sakamoto.
Oh, what's it like?
Oh,
it's another show which needs to be half as long as it is.
Ah, god damn it.
God, it's not even that long.
No, it's a full half hour.
Oh, is it? Oh, right, yeah. Okay, I thought it was going to be a short, okay.
No, it's like two segments, but with like smaller segments in between, and the smaller segments in between are great, and you like...
Like just when it's on point.
Yeah,
right.
If only it was that show.
Okay, I'll have to check it out just for the sake of that then. Yeah.
And this was similar. But yeah. Creepy Bear was... he's no polar bear, that's what I'm saying.
We need to go back and watch all that.
Yeah. So you didn't watch the bit with the town historian explaining?
Yeah, I know the joke. Yeah, I've seen the joke already.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't watch that bit. It
yeah,
already
that was
lost
weird.
Me at that point.
I mean, like, you get a good bit of English from the little girl who exclaims in English that it's, she exclaims sexual harassment in English and then also, don't touch me in English, which is pretty great when she just screams that at the dude. Cause he's basically describing the town's history, which involves a bear going down on a lady. Yeah. And I was just like, whoa, okay. It's going to be that. And yeah, the basic thing is the shrine maiden's really embarrassed by the town history.
It sounds like such a weird show.
It's a very weird show. They have to explain to the kids, it's like, hey, our bears can talk because they're bear humans or something. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be like that. Not that I watched it.
I didn't see it coming. I tell you that much.
Also, at that point, I was looking for things not to watch, so.
Sure.
Anything you can strike off the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
My Hero Academia, episodes 1 and 2. First episode, Zuko Midoriya Origin, and episode 2, What It Takes to Be a Hero. Which they kind of both is origin.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, it's just taking place over the same, like, day, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, you got the main character, Zuko Midoriya, he wants to be a superhero, but unlike 80% of the population, he doesn't have a superpower, which are called quirks. But despite that, he has researched how to be a superhero like a crazy man. He's got all these notebooks full of notes on how to be a superhero.
Yeah, I think the notebook he's working on is like notebook 17 or something. He's filling up with factoids and power levels, presumably, or something.
There's a kid in his class, Katsuki Bakugo, who we see in flashback, used to be his childhood friend, but now they're estranged, they don't get on, he's got anger issues.
He like combusts things or something?
Yeah, apparently he sweats things. Nitroglycerin is his superpower. And the other main character in these two episodes is All Might, the world's strongest hero.
Who is creepy as hell.
We learn he's secretly a sickly man who can only safely use his power for 3 hours a day.
Yeah, I thought I was getting like a Tiger and Bunny vibe from that.
Yeah. And so in the first episode, it's like a slime monster villain they're dealing with.
Initially, it's like a giant shark man like fighting on a freeway. And then the slime monster uses that as an opportunity to rob a convenience store.
And he accidentally gets away and takes Katsuki hostage. And All Might can't save him because he's used his power up today. He's also told, he's had a conversation with Izuku saying, no, there's no way you can be a superhero. Without superpowers. But, like, adrenaline overtakes Zuko and he tries to save Katsuki, which convinces All Might that, hey, that kid's got a point. I should force myself to use my powers and bleed some more.
It's kind of like the thing that he has, the instinct that all the best heroes have of just running in there without thinking and, like, trying, you know?
Yeah.
He has the reactions of a hero. Yeah.
And I can't remember what he says at the end, but he says the thing that he wanted his mum to say.
Yeah, it was
before.
You can be a hero. It's either you can be a hero or you have what it takes to be a hero.
Something
like
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's the end of the episode, and we sort of, in the preview, All Might's going to train him how to be a superhero.
Because there's a lot of teary-eyedness in this one as well.
I think it's a bit more than that, but I don't think they let on exactly what happens in the next episode in the preview.
Yeah.
But reading the comic, I already know.
Okay.
So do I.
Is this worth going on, or should I just start reading the comic?
I mean, it's very well made. It's probably the best looking show currently airing.
Whoa, JoJo's!
No.
It's very good. The animation is very, very nice, and I can't freaking deny that. And I mean, like, JoJo's looks fucking beautiful, what with its green tarmac and yellow skies.
But yeah, it doesn't click with me the same way JoJo's does.
Really?
Oh, no. Okay.
I was enjoying this thoroughly, but maybe it's because I haven't read the comic.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I'm enjoying it. I may well carry on watching it because it's Sunday morning, so.
A good time to start for you.
It's a good time to watch it, yeah. But yeah, it doesn't click with me like some other Shonen Jump properties do.
Okay.
I'm in the same boat. This is, I mean, weirdly enough, I forgot this was out. I keep forgetting. Although everyone's talking about it, I feel, I keep forgetting to watch it. But I never got into it. I've openly said before that I'm not into it either.
You see, I've never seen the start. I've never read the start, so... All I know of this bit is stuff from reading in Wikipedia to answer any questions I've got.
Right. See, this was the bit that I liked of the comic. So, and then it goes a bit crazy because they had that. I've said before in Shonen Jump, they were like, "Yeah, you've read this first six chapters or however many. Now we're jumping to chapter 32, and this is what happened." And they show you like one page of text. It's like, well, that's not really enough. But yeah, I don't know. What's that? What?
Sorry, does it make a sudden jump in the plot?
It
wasn't through fault of the story of its own. Yeah. It was just Shonen Jump basically saying, yeah, we're not going to release these ones. We're just going to put it straight out to date.
What?
Yeah. Basically, they wanted to go, it hadn't been running in the weekly comic, but it was coming out in volumes.
But they wanted to do like a simultaneous bringing it out.
Yeah, but stuff was ending, so... They needed to put something out.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Or in the case of Hunter x Hunter, just not happening at all.
Yeah.
But it's frustrating. I would have rather them do it, like, I don't know, maybe three chapters a week and slow... Like,
I think it was too far out to do
that. Yeah.
That really put me off.
That's fair.
No, it didn't put me off at all. I'm reading it every week, so...
Yeah, if you were reading it as you went, like...
It's fine. It's not the best thing... But it's better than other things in Shonen Jump.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't never read Nisekoi, so.
No, there's so many things I don't read, so yeah, it is better than not that I read this, but at least there's action in this and
or Seraph of the
And
end.
In Black Clover.
Black Clover. You're onto the Black Clover wagon now, Anthony.
Oh, I was reading that from the beginning.
Oh, fair enough. I haven't caught up, I am currently reading it and loving
it. It's good.
The artwork's great.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas I think the character design's great in My Hero Academia, but I'm not so sure about the storytelling.
Ah.
Okay.
It's going to be massively popular, I think. In fact, I know it probably already is, the series.
Probably
it
is.
It seems like
it's got
the Shonen stuff good.
Yeah, the problem is it's coming out at the same time as JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah. Only allowed one.
Yeah.
What, Dragon Ball doesn't count as...
That's its own genre.
Well, we're watching that through a quasi-legal black hole. So, okay, so last thing. Here we go, Dwayne.
Okay.
Anthony's
not
caught
sure
up.
I'm ready, but...
Concrete Revolutio. The last song, episode 14.
A reasonably straightforward episode, I would say.
The Superhumans of November. Which is mainly about Raito Shiba, the robot cop.
Robot detective, yeah.
His crisis of his convictions following the riots at the end of 1968. But we first of all join them in 1972.
Fucking awesome. Like, what a great setup for a sitcom, right?
It is, just after the fight at the end of episode 3.
Yeah.
We're never going to see that fight. But I think it's great how we sort of start the fight and the outcome of the fight.
Well, yeah, him waking up in the apartment to like a low battery warning in his eyeballs, going like, "Son of a bitch, what the fuck?" And he, your man in the other room is what? He's been cooking noodles, is it?
Yeah, he wants to watch TV
and eat noodles.
Yeah.
So he plugged him out. It's like, dude, I was fucking recharging. So they're like the odd couple of roommates now.
Yeah, so Jiro's now apparently living with Raito.
I did not see that coming after that fight that we're probably never going to see.
And he's still mad at Jiro for stealing his androids.
Yeah, he's still a bit sore on that.
But then he runs out of power, so then he's like having to shout at him through the corner of his mouth, which is no longer moving.
He's in power-saving mode. He can move his eyes and use the speaker. It has this kind of internal sound because his mouth is still closed while he's talking.
And then we get a flashback to 71, where the Bureau are kind of they've been pulled into the military, and they're now led by that ninja cop.
I did not know that was the ninja cop until he pulled out that giant shuriken. I was like, who's this guy? I didn't recognize him without the ninja gear.
And they're all wearing like pseudo military uniforms. It's kind of like the bit halfway through Starship Troopers where Neil Patrick Harris suddenly turns up dressed like the Gestapo.
It's like, I wonder if these are the bad guys. It's like, yeah, you're wearing matching evil guy uniforms, yeah. And they're practicing to fight a giant robot, which they have the robot detective plugged into, I guess.
Yeah, and Daitetsu's part of the team now. He's using that name as well. He's apparently got a helmet, which is making his head hurt, so I assume that's the same technology Claude had.
Yeah, they initially think as... I was trying to watch this with Emily, and she was like, I'll try and jump in here. And I was like, she basically bailed after that scene. And I was like, I can't explain who all these characters are, because they're carrying the dude with the helmet in a net between a flying talking bird and a witch. And it's just like, what is happening right now? Yeah.
So Raito's brain is overheating, seems to be the problem. And then they're interrupted in their fighting by a space sheriff.
You say flying saucer interrupts them.
Yes. You say Washizu, the space sheriff, who's representing a group of 70 different alien races.
Yeah, a conglomerate of alien races to bring peace to the universe. And he's like, he comes down in his sheriff uniform with his pointy alien ears. He's like, hello, I'm from space. Let me explain. Opens his shirt, makes his abs become transparent to show his internal workings and stuff.
Yes. He's an android cop from outer space.
Yeah.
And he's there to catch the S-Planetarian, who was the criminal in episode one. Making a nice...
From the very beginning?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
You're all caught up.
Yeah.
Who, of course, the viewer know, is now bonded to Akira Shirota, the former... He was a cop, wasn't he? He was bound to Gross Organ.
Gross Organ. I was going to say, what is he called? Big Eye, and I couldn't remember his name. Yeah.
The Ultraman character, basically. And now he's using this planetarian's body to fight rogue beasts in secret. So they decide to set a trap for him. Because they're all quite happy to work with this space cop.
Yeah. He's all just like, listen, I know I don't have jurisdiction here. How about we make this a joint effort between our organizations? He's very friendly and he likes singing songs in bandstands. It's again not quite the galaxy national theme from Dragon Ball, but it has that kind of feel to it.
And they do this by bringing in a fake kaiju.
It's a robot I'm trying to remember what that Godzilla monster's name is. It's like Gagon or something.
Anguirus?
It's a guy. He has like a little rhino horn and he has like rabbit ears. And he runs on all fours.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Baragon, is it?
I think Baragon.
I think it might be Baragon, it looks like, anyway. But, it's actually a robot disguised as Baragon.
Which, of course, you know, that's taken from the start of Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, isn't it?
Yeah,
because
Mechagodzilla's... The skin peeling away kind of thing. Yeah.
And we know from the opening credits that robot's going to eventually become, basically, Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, bit of a spoiler. And I guess that makes sense since Jiro is Godzilla.
Yes. And they managed to successfully capture the S-Planetarian, but
them all chained up like an Evangelion.
Yes, and turns out it was all apart. Well, so they set it up because Jaguar was in disguise as a guy who'd helped the students bring this beast.
That was so annoying because you see, like, an old man, clearly in Jaguar's jacket, and I was like, "Is that Jaguar from the future?" It's like, "Oh, he's just wearing a rubber mask." That was kind of disappointing to me.
Yeah, Amy hijacks the TV broadcast to
announce that it's like, oh, that's a baddie.
Yes.
Watch out, everyone.
And the guy organising the students is Ryuichi from the guy who used to be in the bubble helmet with the jet bike and the zap guns.
Oh, yeah. What was his name? Like Jet Kid or something?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they captured the Esplanetarian, but it's all... Well, that was their plan, to capture the Esplanetarian. The Esplanetarian getting caught was part of Jiro's plan. To steal the Equus back.
Yeah, it was this weird plan where basically it was just to get... I'm just going to call him Esplanetarian because it's just easier.
Yeah.
It's just to get Esplanetarian to say to Kiko... The witch girl is like, hey, Jiro's got a message for you. He's like, really? And she goes to meet him and is like, senpai! And he's like, haha, I'm going to use your magical fucking stage to get into the base, steal Equus, and get the fuck out of there. What I mean, an amazing double cross. And kind of dickish of Jiro, but you know.
Yeah, and all, while this is all happening, Shiba kills the space sheriff.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he doesn't want him to execute the Esplanetarian, also because he's like... He also says he's going to... The sheriff has said he'll upgrade him. And when they're having conversations earlier, Shiba starts seeing the sheriff as him.
Yeah. As who he was, like,
yeah,
before the... Is it the riots, or...?
It's before the riots in 68. Yeah. So it's before... Yeah. He thought, oh, superhumans are dangerous. I've got to be...
Needs to be locked up.
I'm not a superhuman. Yeah. I'm a cop. I'm going to stop them.
They made mention of it. I think it's they're saying that his robot logic won't accept this discrepancy of like two contradictory thoughts. Like he's basically it's sent him kind of crazy. So that's why he fucking blows a hole in that dude's chest and just smashes into his brain.
Yes,
steals his computer chips.
And then we go back to the future, and only a year in the future, and we see that he's installed these chips in his head.
Yeah.
And so that's why his convictions are now fully focused, but now he's focused against the government.
Also, he can sing now.
And he can sing, and he wants to protect the young superhumans.
Yeah.
And there's some commentary about sort of how the new left started tearing itself apart when people couldn't agree on things because they were young.
It's contrary nature. Yeah.
So he's decided to upgrade himself in order to protect them. And so, yeah, he's now a communist robot singing, heads of a communist robot singing on top of a building. While Jiro's like, yeah, I'll protect you and your convictions, because you're an ally of justice.
Yeah, a fairly straightforward episode.
Yeah. Oh, there's one thing we missed, though, is because...
Oh.
Yes. Because Jiro uses his powers, and Amy's shocked.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, how's he doing without the seals? And he now appears to have the...
Sheriff says he has the... he calls him, like... I'm going to say gassies, but that's not what he calls
No, it's something similar. Yeah, so the three gaseous aliens.
Vapors?
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. He has, like, just a pluralization
of... Yeah, so they're now all synonym. Apparently in his arm.
Yeah, and the colors are actually there. So I was like, oh, yeah, I never actually spotted that.
I think we'd see that in the first series, and I've never connected those two.
Yeah, because you just don't match the colors up to the gas aliens.
Yeah.
And the sheriff seems to think the gas aliens are controlling Jiro, but I'm given like no indication of
that. No, there's no indication of that at all. I assume they're
just... At the very least, they might be a consensus. Like.
Yeah, or they're just sealing whatever's in his arm.
Yeah, no idea how that happened, but I guess they do want to fight the chief in his new position.
Yeah.
They've thrown subtlety to the wind.
Well, no, the chief is in the arm.
Oh, yeah, you're right. One of them's green.
Yes.
What the fuck is the chief doing?
Oh, well. We may find out next episode. I don't know.
Pretty great. Pretty great.
Yeah, so the space sheriff, French Toast, is back. So I think he says Spectre Man. Well, that was the one I'd guess because that timeline matched up for it to be Spectre Man in 1971. But he'd even got like a picture of the comic where the Spectre Man, the guy who turns
when he goes transparent.
Yeah, that's even from that.
But see, then I was nearly thinking like, what's that guy's name? Crystal Boy off.
Because then he'd also put that his android form, his full android form, which you see in the UFO, is based on these toys called Henshin Cyborg.
Yeah.
Which were basically like these little cyborg bodies you could dress up as various superheroes. And they've got no heads, but you could buy a head for them. And the ones with the head look exactly like he looks like in this cartoon. And because that predates Crystal Boy, I assume Crystal Boy is probably based on the same thing.
Based off that, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, still a lot of references in this. That guy does look like Crystal Boy, all right.
Yeah, it's nice.
Oh, also we have the aliens controlling their spaceships. They kind of look like the Crystal Boy thing as well. The alien sheriffs, or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
Using their zappy rays to fight S planetarians. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's good for it to be back. And I saw like a gif of some action from this week's episode, and it looks crazy good.
Yeah, I mean, like, it might drop in a few episodes or so, but it's nice for them to, like, especially, like, on the escape from It's not the Institute.
That's the worst thing, isn't it? Because they're holding him in the place where all those kids were experimented on.
Yeah.
And the end credits clearly set up the three factions. So it's like, these are Giro's faction, these are the Bureau, and these are the Imperial ads.
And it keeps suggesting stuff like, is Giro going to go back to them? Or, like, it keeps, like, making them switch places to make you think, it's like, wait, how is this going to go down, kind of thing. Or maybe they'll go on his side. We're not exactly sure at this rate. But, you know, the obvious kind of signs of he's running against them on a different rainbow.
Yeah, and the Daitetsu is clearly, like, the final foe in terms of clashing. Because there's that great shot where the Mechagodzilla thing, but in silhouette, looks like a Zaku. So,
yeah.
Which is a crazy good idea in terms of sort of looking at how pop culture and how,
this. Yeah, and combining it, yeah.
This is all going to evolve into a char. This is what your heroism is taking you to.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, like, think way more about it. And obviously, as the episodes come out, it's going to get a little easier to do. But about, like, what kind of relevance this is making to not only what fiction was coming out then, but how it relates to political ideals that were coming out at the time. That's going to be, like, super fun.
But yeah, this feels very much like the idea of superheroes as fascists. Because it's pretty disturbing that Raito is like, the moment he's got any sort of self-doubt, he just blows another guy's head, body open, and steals his brain in order to get his convictions back.
Yeah, that guy is not right. I feel kind of bad for the dude, but yeah.
Yeah, you do. That's how it works. You don't feel like, oh, he's the villain.
A villain, yeah.
It's terrible that it's come to this, that this is what he's got to do, because his brain is overheating. Horrifying.
Yeah.
But they're like, he's like the most, but they think he's the most normal. But then again, everyone in that room is not a human being.
Yeah. The most normal guy is the robot detective who's going crazy and blowing a dude open.
Oh, yeah. We also learned that the scientist was part of the same experiments as on the kids. So.
Yeah, we still don't know what the deal is with him, but. They seem to be suggesting that, because I think back in the day they did say that Giro was the only human on the team, and yet this dude walking around in a lab coat apparently isn't human.
Oh, no, not that, no. I'm just saying the origin we'd had discussed previously about Raito is that a scientist had saved the cop's brain and put it in a robot,
but now he
was experimented on in the same experiment.
It's possible he was a superhuman experiment as well.
Yeah.
And I think they were kind of suggesting that the way he was plugged into that giant robot, like in the previous season where they had the superhumans plugged into the U.S. submarine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was kind of a similar kind of idea that they're just using him as a power source, essentially. Because he comes from the same fucking line of experiments, like, so. Really good.
Yeah, and next week, or this week even, because it's airing, it aired a few moments before we recorded this, it seems to be about the pop group.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this is, like, going to be about, like, the change in pop music culture, but that as violent superhero fights. That seemed to be the suggestion I was getting from the preview.
Yeah, there's a guy who's got two different coloured eyes, so I don't know if that's a guy being possessed by two of the gas people.
Or is it David Bowie? We don't know.
We don't know. Who knows? It'd be great if David Bowie did show up, because the timing would be perfect. Right, I think that's enough Concrete Revolution show for this week. No doubt even more next week.
Yeah, probably.
Anything else you watched, Anthony?
I think that's it.
Righty-ho, that ends this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo. Be back next week to hang with the Let's Go gang. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamitingthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.